Are we gonna have a week? Or what? I remember I used to have you open up to the page I had marked and then never go back. But right now I seem to be looking at the sixth chapter of Luke, just in case. Don't you lift those hands just about halfway up? No. I've learned something, you know, about worship. It's great to sing about Him, worship about Him. And I love to sing about Him, His exploits. And my God is a mighty God who reigns. I love to do that. But my worship went from singing about Him to Him. To Him. It wasn't too long in that worship that I noticed He began to instruct me in a way to approach Him, because I'd always think all the great things I'm going to receive from worshiping God, you know. As human beings, we're weak like that. Finally, I found out how to approach Him with what was forming in my heart. And I said, I'll tell you what I'm here. I'll tell you why I'm here. It began when I went to a passion play in Oklahoma City. And hell was hot and the angels flew on wires. Jesus rose, everything. Just no anointing. On the way home, I'm thinking, how would you get an anointing? And He told me, if you'd go home and worship Me all night, you'd begin to find out. Did you? No? It was a year later, I fell out under the power right there. Nobody even prayed for me. I was going, still feeding that same hunger I had. He gave me instruction. I followed it. Took a while to get to this one. Oh, I could save you time. I'm not coming before you to ask for anything, really, you know. I know you've already paid the price and provided everything. I know that. Of course, there's specific prayer that I pray to Him that's not in the worship closet, and thank Him for doing it and know it's done and walk away and celebrate over it. But I'm talking about I'm in a closet now and I want to worship Him. So I said, as much as I know how, I want to tell you this. I'm in here because I love you. I know I can't worship you without receiving certain things. But I'm in here to tell you that I love you. I know you already provided everything. So I'm just here to tell you how thankful I am and how much I love you, Father. You loved me, Jesus. You really loved me. You paid the price. And I can't thank you enough. I'd go on in to the worship. Well, it wasn't but a couple of years that I broke into a certain place. Well, a whole lot more before the few years, but this was kind of an unusual. It was something like the 36th day of a fast or something. And as much as I could, I worshiped him every day, but I can't say I did it every day, but most of the time. All of a sudden, the power just exploded on the bed I was laying on. I jumped up off the bed, and I lifted my hands, and I went out under the power to about a 45-degree angle. I just like to just stand there at a 45. I'd put my hands down, I'd come back up. I'd raise them up again, I'd go back to a 45. Not only that, but I got to see you. You wouldn't treat yourself the way you do. If you saw what I saw. Just 9 seconds of how much he loved you. You was all I could take. I couldn't start bawling for days. 9 seconds, it says, was all I could take. I never could have imagined the worth of a human being. You know what that did to the real treasure I see? Doesn't matter to me if a man's got so much money he has to stack it in this room in gold. Or some drunk is 10 inches. It's 10 seconds from death. Do you think for a moment he loves one more than the other? Oh, that gave me some idea of what people's worth. Do you know what it really helped? I know you're so nice, so I can do this. You know where it really helped? Can I use you? You know how it really helped? It didn't matter how ugly people treated me. I still knew what they were worth. And I didn't care. And it didn't forget my forgiveness. It did not affect my forgiveness. It didn't affect the way I treated it. I got to see you through his eyes. And I don't care if you was treated me like a dog. He wants you. Should we talk about maybe what I'm receiving some? Who can tell me what love never does? Are you going to quit? You're going to quit failing? Perfect love, it takes something. I forgot what it was. Perfect love, with no fear. What kind of missionary would you, what would you be capable of? You know what? I was looking through prosperity through wallets that you got in the mail. There is someone in our midst that sent away for a wallet. Of course, they put money to put in his wallet when they went to buy his wallet. So when he sent off to buy his wallet, he had to put money in their wallet. So then their wallet had money in it, but his didn't. Still doesn't. He said, "Well, that wallet's famous. We want it. We want to frame it and put it on. Can we frame it and put it up?
It's got the ministry name on it."
Put polish over it.
We could do that.
Could you do that? How many would like to see that wallet framed? It's a historical factor. It'll go down through the millennials. The story will be told by the angels. Well, he didn't know any difference. Neither did I, but I didn't send off for a wallet. I gave all my tax return money. It didn't come back exactly the way they said it would. It hurt my faith. I said, "Baby Christian, what color is your wallet?" Could just kind of frame it and cover up the name. We'll call this piece of artwork the wallet. Every one of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to ask the rest of you how many of you got a wallet. Did I see a hand back there? Well, she's just waving at me. I won't ask you unless you want to volunteer the information. If you sent off for a wallet, you want to volunteer it. Just nobody's volunteering. Well, what they said is, the amount of money that you gave them, that they would send you a wallet and it would never go empty. His has been empty so long it's on retirement. I looked for wealth the same way everybody else did. You know, God, you should give me all this money. And I should use it to get all these people saved. You know, basically, that's how I looked for wealth. So, I'd pick up a pattern of one preacher the way that he would get it. And the pattern the way another would get it. And I got pretty good at it, but I tell you what, you can run a 100-yard dash in 7 seconds, and you cannot outrun your conscience. So I was trying to find a direction to look towards or forward or towards God, you know. I was trying a way to look at Him to where I could get Him to look at me or to give back. And had quite a lot of trouble. Me and my sister, Donna, where you raise your hand. And our upbringing wasn't really good. Ma, we knew quite a few dads that were never married. Three or four, some of them treated us good, some didn't. One even took us fishing one time. But we grew up running around sometime in a trailer. I'd sleep in a panel truck, and my brother would. She'd sleep in the little trailer and go to school from the panel truck. Grandpa finally took us all in. Had an uncle that was born pretty much blind. He was just 4 or 5 years older than me. Then my mom and my dad, he abandoned us after the war. So I never knew him. I saw a picture once. One day I come home from school, he's sitting at the kitchen table. I don't know what he's trying to get out of. Support, back support. Thank you. It's good to have a sister. You know what he did? They got me in the room. The room said, "That's your dad in the kitchen." So I just went in and looked at him. You know what he did when he was done? Never said a word. Just got up, got in his car and left. Never saw him again. It wasn't too long after that. 17, I was gone a lot. Cutting school. They noticed he didn't know that. They didn't know where I went. Day I turned 18, I joined the Navy. When I came back, I didn't hardly bother tracking anybody down. Sister, brother, and uncle. I could go 10 years and not see anybody. It wouldn't bother me. Sure glad my sister tracked me down and loves me. My older one does too now. So does our policeman brother. We can go months and years without talking to each other. That's just how it went. We didn't know nothing about family. So when the Bible talks so much about Him being your Father, what in the world does that mean? What does it mean to have brothers and sisters that will come to your rescue? We don't even know where each other was. God knew just what I needed on that trip to Oklahoma City. Now I know He loves me. That's why I would do what He said. So when He told me, He said, "How can you get an anointing in this place?" I said, "Go home, worship me all night." Near a year later, He loved me. He really did. So He slew me out on the floor, just on the other side of that dove. I was laying there, and He told me, He said, "Look, I told you a year ago. Now, you going to obey me for your next step or not?" Pepsi. I've already prayed in tongues for 10 years, a majority of the time. But what tongues does, it's a foundational revelation gift. When tongues can't give you what private worship does, then tongues forms the key and unlocks the door, then that gives it to you. Same thing with the giftings, your calling. Just ready to be unlocked. What do you think it says when he that prays in unknown tongue speaks not of men but unto God? Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh what mysteries? That which is out of the realm, unassisted natural apprehension can be made known only by divine intervention and those who are illuminated by the Spirit. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're praying the whole plan of God out in front of you. And every time it's time for you to receive a portion of it, buddy, the understanding of it comes. And nobody or nothing can take it away from you. So I'm telling you about the love he unlocked. See, I've already unlocked the one on old healing gifts and those kind of things. And receiving the mysteries and the revelation knowledge and several other keys. Even the key now that's unlocking is the love of God. But this was the toughest one for me because it had everything to do with family. You know, the first thing I found out, Christianity, it's not a religion. It is a, it's not a religion. It's a what?
Family.
Not a religion of what?
Family.
Christianity is not a religion. It's family. I can prove that God is your Father so thoroughly, that I can show you where the lineage was broke off. But then that's another teaching. What I'm teaching on is His love right now. So I fell out under the power over here. Pow. Okay, over this side. Pow. He said, I told you what to do. And I asked him, how long? I shouldn't tell you this part. Now listen. I have a very, very stubborn nature. They made me chip paint on a destroyer out at sea. Chip the little rust place and then paint it. I didn't like it. Every day I'd report with chits for request or transfer. They say, you're never going to get this. I said, I don't care. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day until finally, okay! I got put in a hobby shop. I like that better. Then when I got back to the base, they wanted to make a guy that marched out of me. March, march. I didn't like that very well. So here I go again. Every day I'd put it, and they'd say, they're just tearing it up and throwing it in the trash. I said, then I'll make them out a week ahead. Every day, until I wore them out. And then they said, okay, where do you want to be transferred to? I said, I'd like to run the bowling alley and be a lifeguard. I got pretty good, you know. Pretty good, you know. You wouldn't probably want to bowl me. and the swimming. I had alternative motives there. I wasn't married yet, you know. I know a lot of you don't know what I mean if you're over 50. Why are you talking stubborn? Because I got saved. When I got saved, I had an experience with the Holy Spirit. I found out that when I yielded myself somehow inside, that He would pray. Must be Him. Was there anybody to tell you? No. I figured it had to be Him. So you know what I did? After I quit my job to go full time, the same hours I worked my job, I went down and prayed in tongues. How could you survive those hours? Stubborn. Stubborn. If you think it's easy, try it. Stubborn. But this is the part I'll never forget. This woman came over and said, "I heard you've been praying an awful lot." "Yep." "Well, they're having this special meeting over at this Methodist church over here, a Presbyterian church. Would you like to come in over here?" "Oh, I'd do anything to get out of here a while." So they took me in and set me down the golden-tongued orator. I was just getting ready to orate. And they helped the lady in. Took them a long time to get her in because she's on a crutch. So she sat down. So they started orating. I was so excited. I'd been locked up so long. Somebody was going to open the Bible and preach. I was excited. He's about to speak. Look, he's opening his mouth. He's going to go and he goes, "We know that God is the great celestial go-between the troubled waters of mankind and God." And I'm going, "Oh, God." I was shaking my coffee for excitement. I'm sorry to say I ruined their service. The elderly lady that come in and sat down by me, I was just sheer boredom looking around. No great anointing come on me. Nothing. Sheer boredom. Coffee shaking boredom. Plus they didn't believe in praying in tongues. I thought, I wished I was out of here. And I looked over at the lady just a moment. All of a sudden, suspended in front of me was a whole hip. And it was dark hip. And she came in on a crutch. And I blinked. And it stayed. So I didn't know what to do. He was still orating. I said, "Ma'am, do you have pain in your right hip?" And she looks at me and goes, "Why, young man, that's what the doctor tells me." And I went, "Praise God!" Without thinking hardly, I jumped around in front of her like I seen another preacher do. got down on my knees in front of her, grabbed that leg, grabbed the other one, pulled them up even. And that one was about that much shorter than the other. And I went, oh, God. And I'm looking at him. And I said, well, here we go. I said, in the name of Jesus, just like they did it. In the name of Jesus. And it went, crack, crop, crack. And it shocked me so bad I couldn't talk. I was going. Well, the guy sent his instructor over, his sidekick, to break it up. So he come running over. And he gets there just in time to see. And the orator was winding his message up with, in what is the most outstanding sequence of events that you could possibly attribute to the God factor? This guy's going, over here. Over here. And they came over and they says, God, healing has passed away with the apostles. And she jumped up and grabbed her crutch and went after him and says, you want to bet, sonny? This was my first experiences. I'm going to bet, sonny. And that whole bunch called, wanted to meet without order. So they had some kind of meeting the next day there. It was a weekend thing, and they invited me. And he healed some more of them, but when I called them all up, every one of them was filled with the Holy Ghost. It started something. Well, the miracles that happened in those days was wonderful. Like when I went full time, I had no money to leave town. I was leaving anyway to do a meeting. Some woman flagged me down at the edge of town, put a handful of money in my hand, and enough to get to my meeting. Don't tell me praying in tongues doesn't set your future. He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the plan of God, for who? For you. Makes intercession for who? You, the saints, according to what the will of God. He's working that plan out ahead of you. You let him work that plan out ahead of you, you're going to get there, aren't you? You think that we would ever have a book in Lebanon, Kuwait, some of the places where Paul walked, with a message that we got out of his letter? This time went by. I got involved with other preachers. This care came. This one came. Money become a worry. How am I going to get more? I took up offerings like they did. You can't keep praying in tongues and stay stupid. Either you can believe him or you can't. If you can't, you're going to come to an end somewhere. I found out that's not my source. What if they run out of money? What would I do? They're not my source. But do you know what? I got a chapter here so I can read. I can read to you. I can show you a source. Every time he'll press it down, he'll shake it together, and he'll run it over, and he'll give back to you what you did. Only not the same amount. As in for a wallet, you throw that wallet in the fire and just get it over with. No. So it's up to you. Same principle that cleans your leaving up. Same principles that cleans your believing up. If you're not believing wrong, you can't be stopped. It took the devil 2,000 years to mess us up with so many religions. You and I, we have an edge. Most of them couldn't read. You'd carry home what I taught you. Try to remember it. Maybe if some of you wrote, you'd try to write it down. Then you'd have to live until the next teacher, the next prophet, the pastor. They had nothing. What did Jesus say? I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I'll send you another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he'll lead or he'll guide you into all truth. Notice he didn't say he'd push you. He said, he shall receive of mine. Jesus says he'll receive of mine. And show it unto you. Well, what did he have that he was showing unto you? The standing that Jesus had as the firstborn Son of God is what he wanted to get over to you. He'll receive of mine what? The standing he has with the Father, and he will show it unto you. We happen to be a big fat family. You have to like me. So I was looking in the wrong direction for my prosperity. Did you know some of the powerful giving that you can do? When you're the last person on your mind. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I'll give you part of it and then leave you hanging. How many gets to be here all week? Okay, we have you at Luke 6. Didn't we get back here? Or I've been looking in the wrong direction. Why don't we go clear to the end of the chapter, so it won't take us so long. Forty-seventh verse. Whosoever cometh to me, that's me, and heareth my sayings, that's his scripture. Truth. Oh, well, look at this next word. I don't know much about it. And doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. Goody, goody, goody. He's going to compare me to somebody. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep. Laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, did you notice here he didn't say, and if one did? Hello? Hello? Oh, flood coming, anointed one. He said, the stream beat vehemently up in the house. Notice this, and could not shake it. And why not? It's founded upon a rock. Well, what was that rock that he was talking about? Hearing his sayings, and what was the one more part? Hearing's not enough. Okay. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately he fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now wait a minute. Woo! This is getting excited. If I not only hear his sayings, but do them, I'm going to build my house on a rock, and hell or high water, floods can get as deep as they want, rushing boulders, people can scream. And my house is not going anywhere. And why? Because I built it on doing his sayings. Now, you know what's the interesting part about this? Right in the middle of this teaching is a famous verse that every preacher uses, and it doesn't even mean that. So if I do his sayings, I'm going to build my house on a rock, and the stream can come and beat on it and beat on it and beat on it. And is it going to make a bit of difference? Because no matter what he does, it is not going down. Well, why don't we find out what these sayings are? Should we? Because if we've got to do them, we might as well find out what they are. We don't have to go back too far. How about verse 27? Yeah, I think that's good enough. Are you ready? Ooh, is this close enough? But I say unto you, in the 27th verse, that's real light. That's close to 47. Whosoever come to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. Now we're in 27, but I say unto you which hear, this must be the sayings he's talking about. I say unto you that hear, offer them a wallet that will never go empty. But I say unto you which hear, what? Am I looking in the wrong direction for prosperity? love your enemies? Gets worse. Do good to them which hate you. Oh my God, it's getting worse. Bless them that curse you. Oh, that is not bad enough. Then just well, what do you do if they despitefully use you? Pray for them. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that just slapped you in the face. Take one cheek and offer also the other. Then to him that takes away thy cloak, God, you'll forbid it not. Forbid it not to take away your coat also. Oh, I really love this verse. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And to him that takes your goods without asking anyway, whether you like it or not, ask them not again. Now notice this 31, and as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. I'm going, I don't want to get hit in the face real hard, so I guess I'm not going to hit him. That's been our golden rule. You would to others do unto you, do them likewise. And I remember when I first read that, I thought, oh good, here's a good way to stop people from stabbing me in the back. So I quit stabbing them in the back. I got nice. Hi, how are you doing today? You look very nice. Anything I can do for you? Don't you just love church? Say yes. Say yes. Yes, okay. So I'm doing all these good things for people. Because as I would want them to do to me, I'm doing to them. So I'm doing all these good things. They're going to do all these good things for me. Oh my God. One by one they came. After a while, there was no place left in my back to stab a knife. The nicer I got, they just looked for more places to stab. Do you know what that means? As you would, others would do to you. Do to them likewise. He didn't say they'd treat you that way. What he was saying, if you would want others to treat you, you go ahead and treat them that, and I'm the one, God, I'm the one that'll turn around and treat you that way. So no matter how good you're treating that ugly person, God's going to turn around. And he is the one that's going to pour out the abundance of his love on you in compensation. And do you know why? You were spiritually dead, as they were. When he died, he wants them saved as bad as he wants you. And he's not even done yet. You know the part there when he says he takes away your goods? Ask him not again. You know what his answer was for that one? I mean, here they come and drove your truck off and took your goods, emptied your garage from all your tools, took everything you had away from you. And you didn't stop them, you didn't turn them in, you didn't have them arrested. What do you think Luke 6:38 is really all about, the position where it is? given it shall be given to you. He shaken together, heaped down, pressed together, running over. And that's the time when he says, men, it's going to carry this to you and give it to your bosom. It's not a scripture for taking offerings. That's a promise of payback for you to hold the blood up to somebody, no matter what they do to you, for salvation. I looked the wrong way for prosperity. I wanted it. Oh, I want him. And I want you to get saved. Should we finish? Church, how long's it been since I've got to teach? All right, let's cut in again. 27. I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them who despitefully use you, and to him that smiteth thee on one cheek, just go right ahead and offer the other also. And him that takes away your cloak, forget him not to take your coat. After all, it probably matches, you know. Also, yeah. I don't. This too, right? Give to every what? What kind of bank does God have anyway? Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that takes away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Meaning, again, they may not treat you that way, but however you treat them, guess who's going to come in the scene? They're going to treat you the way you treated them. See, I looked in the wrong direction. I sowed in greed, reaped very little. Sowing in greed, I got nothing hardly. I just had to jump up and take it away from you. God, I'm glad those days are over. Now I know what it means to have a father. And you know what? When I broke into the love of God, I'm not having a lot of trouble believing that my father will just give me anything. What used to, and preachers would preach, oh, he's my father. I go, well, he's my God. A little more. 31. And as you would that men should do to you, do also to them likewise. Look at this. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? Sinners do the same thing. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? Sinners also do the same for each other. And if you lend to them whom lend to hope to receive, what thank have you? And sinners also lend to sinners, hoping to receive as much again. But listen, love your enemies, do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be you therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. And forgive, you shall be forgiven. So when you refuse to judge, then there is nothing in you that the devil can use to judge you with. You refuse to condemn, he can find nothing to condemn you to the penalty of anything. Nothing. If you forgive, you shall be forgiven. That he'll not find anything you to get a hold of to destroy you with, because you refuse to forgive. In other words, you've got quite a house. You got quite a house that's been built on a rock. But look at 38. Given, it should be given unto you. You ever heard this in an offering? Probably the only one in this chapter you can really quote. Given, it should be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So men, now we're operating on a living level. So men, give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured you again. And of course, he speaks this parable, does a little more teaching, and goes into the solid, solid establishment of your house on the rock. But see what 38? He said, look, don't judge. Can't find nothing to judge you with. You won't condemn. They will absolutely find nothing in you to condemn you with. You forgive. There's nothing he can get a hold of to destroy you with. And everything the sinner took, everything he walked away with, everything he kept, because you gave it. What you're really doing, you're holding his blood up between you and him. And you don't care what it costs you. And because you won't do anything but hold that blood up, he said, I'll heap it down. I'll shake it down. I'll shake it together. I'll run it over, and I'll call somebody here on the planet somewhere to deliver it to your house. So he said, be you therefore merciful as your Father's merciful. And then we'll stop. It's a difference between mercy and grace. Because he's going to be merciful to you. What's the difference? See, I plan to get this town, everybody in it, get born again from seeing a bunch of blind babies healed. They will be. We plan to sweep a great harvest. You know why we're going to do it? We're not going to stop till we do. A lot of people in here is developing that stubborn streak. I know a lot in here that's not going to. I'm one of them. I'm not going to stop. Imagine God's here on his planet. Spiritual deaths between us and him. We're on this planet. We can't get to him. We're dead. We'll never perish, but we've got a death nature. So he says, how am I going to do this? So it was an act of mercy that he sent Jesus across the void. act of mercy. Then when he got there, as an act of mercy and grace, he shed his blood. So if they want to come over and pick up this blood and hold it up and say, with this grace, with this standing that he gave me because of your mercy, can I cross that void now? And they say, yes, you can. Mercy was what caused him to be able to come over here. But it was the grace, his standing, that he provided for you when he died in your place. So he said, be you therefore merciful as he's merciful. You know, just because you do something for somebody, that's just a sheer act of mercy. You didn't have to do it. You probably lost over it. Just remember. Somebody out there is going to pay you back. One time I was talking to somebody, and this somebody had something taken from them, and it was worth quite a bit. And then they didn't pay. They didn't pay the money on it. Something had all messed up. You know. Anyway, I told the person, I says, look, did you know that your mouth is the most powerful thing on this planet on the behalf of that man? She says, what? I said, your mouth is the most powerful agent on this planet. See, right now, your words are destroying him. You need to change him. Besides, so what? So what if he doesn't pay you that money back? What do you care who it comes from? If you let God pay it back, you're going to get some interest. And that guy is going to remember somebody. That ministered heaven to you. So I was looking the wrong direction for money. Shoda kilomato si. Joma krista blefuma kese. Tati, tati, tati. Tati. He says, when I come and I make something available, I take great joy in this. He says, yes, over and over and over and over, I take great joy in ministering to my children. Well, it looks like it's starting out here with a little grace. Think there's somebody that's got some ugly debt against you that you'd like to slap, but you're willing to forgive instead? No? Okay. Good. How many believes there's presence here that is being ready to be set into operation? And some of you are going to be blessed even before you can get on whatever you get on to go home on. I believe that some of you is just going to get blessed before you can get out of Tulsa. See, I believe it. So, if there is someone that you want to forgive, you don't have to make public deals out of it. No, it's, that part's up to you. Let them go in your heart. Pray through later on it a little. But right now, if you want His grace to flow or to operate on your behalf over any of these things that we laid out tonight, I don't know, if I was sitting down, I'd stand up, because I've got a list and I'm correcting the list. See, it's a good thing that I'm already standing, because you'd have never known if I was sitting. I tell you what, if I was sitting, I would be standing. I mean, I would. Shalom. I can already feel His presence. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Father, such a wide span of miracles. Thank You for every single one. Please, better be guilty of too much love than too much greed. Come on. Two kinds of people born again. Heaven's full of them. So is this planet. All on the surface. And them that are not. And earth is all completely full of them. But many are living in a window of time. And they are Your lost brothers and sisters. There's not an expense He would spare. There's not a thing that He wouldn't do. Look what He says in His Word. How much of it do we think we understand? He says, how basic does He have to get? Look at the lilies of the field, the fowls of the air. He feeds them. How is it? How is it? How can you possibly think that you're not worth much more than they? Don't you get it? I'm trying to tell you. Don't you get it? I'm the one trying to get it to you. Have lost brothers and sisters living in that time, hanging on. And what do preachers want? Oh God, I'll give you 1,000 if you'll give me 100,000 back return to go after the lost. Oh, come on. Come on. You don't think if you hooked up with him as a son or a daughter, you could say, "You're my father. You're my father." Yes, God, I know. You want my brothers and sisters more. You're the one that paid for. And I dare to think that you wouldn't pour out the millions I need. I am sorry to ever think that way. See, let me give you a key. If you're the last one on your mind, when you give, you're getting close. Something's not clicking, see? He wants them saved. He's trying to provide for it. Who's messing up? What's these two enemies that reign like kings? The love of money is what? Half the root. Anything that'll battle the new nature. Anything that'll battle the new natures. The exaltation. Oh, you can pass yourself off as the most godly person that ever lived. And still greed that money in. What does he really have to work with? Well, I'm finding out. I'm finding out. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to see everybody. Listen, I'm going to let you go. There's going to be a lot of miracles and things happening, but this is not one of the nights that he's doing those kind. He's doing another kind.